Second story. 14. Monday meant back to work, and Nate had a hard time concentrating. Sunday evening he'd been ready to start searching the building, but Veek commuted to Santa Monica, so she had to be up early. Explorations had to wait. He got home before Veek and spent 2 hours waiting for her. He walked down to her door 4 times to see if she'd made it home. On the 4th trip, he realized he was acting like a stalker. He turned on the television in the lounge. The only thing worth watching was Jeopardy, which he'd never been good at, but stumbling over the answers and questions made him feel a bit less stalkerish. Veek thumped up the stairs just as Alex Trebek gave the final Jeopardy answer. She had a messenger bag slung over her shoulder. She raised an eyebrow when she saw him in the lounge. "Hey," she said, "are you stalking me?" "No, of course not. Good." "I wanted to talk to you about a couple things." Nate made a few subtle gestures at the walls. "You know," she shook her head, "I really don't have time right now."
"Why not?"
"I got an extra assignment. It means some overtime. I can't pass up the money." "Ah," he said, "of course." Her lips twitched and almost formed a smile.
"I've been waiting over a year for this," she told him. "Don't worry, the building'll still be here on Saturday."
He went back to his apartment and searched the web for everything he could find on black light bulbs. It led him to other pages about basic electrical wiring and pages of terms he had to look up. 3 hours later, he felt like he didn't know much more about UV lights than he did when he first sat down at his laptop. Nate got up and switched on the kitchen light. His shirt and socks glowed. He held his hand out and examined the blue aura around his fingernails. A few brilliant points of light spun and circled around his microwave. They split off and scattered across the counter. Some vanished into outlets. Others raced up the wall. The green roaches were little flares under the black light. A bright spot appeared from beneath the refrigerator. It scurried out to the middle of the floor and paused. He crouched to look at it. It was his mutant cockroach again, the one with the extra leg. It had gotten bigger. Its body was an inch long now, and so were its antennae. They waved in the air for a moment, then it spun and dashed back under the fridge. The extra leg didn't slow it down at all. He straightened up and saw a few more flashes of light. He leaned over the counter and two of the roaches froze, their gleaming antennae tilted back and forth, trying to sense his intentions. He looked at the gleaming patterns on their shells and the way their... Nate blinked and squinted at the bugs. Both of the roaches had an extra leg, 4 on the right, 3 on the left. He looked over at one of the others. The glow made it easy to pick out details. It dashed under the toaster as soon as it sensed his attention, but not before he saw its bonus leg. He stretched his head back and tried to focus on the one by the light. 7 legs scurried across the ceiling and the roach vanished into the fixture. He saw its tiny shadow for a moment inside the light, and then it was gone. Tuesday was a band-aid peeled off as slowly as possible. Another crate of returns showed up. He was halfway through sorting the bundles of cards and magazines when Eddie showed up.
"Staff meeting."
Nate looked around. Zach and Anne returned his baffled look. He looked back at Eddie. "And?"
"Staff meeting," repeated Eddie. "The boss wants everyone there."
"I'm just the data entry guy," Nate said.
"And I'm only a temp," said Anne.
The heavy man shrugged.
"They want you to feel included here."
Nate tried to think of one time in the past 2 years he'd felt included during work hours. "I'm pretty sure she didn't mean me," he said. "And I've got a bunch of new work." He tapped the mail crate with his foot. "I'd get way behind."
"She wants everyone there. That's what she said."
The meeting he didn't need to be at ended 2 hours later, and Nate had 40 minutes to kill at his computer before the day was over. He spent most of it sorting the new returns into rough stacks and figuring out how much work didn't get done while he was at the meeting. It was useful information to have later in the week when Eddie complained how far behind Nate was getting. The workday ended. He struggled through Los Angeles's famous rush hour traffic and then spent close to an hour trying to find a parking space. Wednesday morning was street sweeping for half the streets in the neighborhood. People were already jockeying for next day positions. Near the top of Kenmore's small hill was a section of curb between 2 driveways. 2 cars could fit there, but someone had parked a green Taurus in the middle of it. He grumbled for a minute and then noticed the driver behind the wheel. The man was staring at a laptop mooching wireless from someone's open signal. Nate revved his engine, then revved it again. When he got no response, he tapped the horn. The man glanced up and gave him a cold stare. "Hey," called Nate, "could you pull forward a bit? I only need 2 or 3 feet and I could fit behind you." The man turned his attention back to his computer. "Hey," Nate hit the horn again. The man looked him in the eyes. "We all need to park here. Don't be a jerk about it." The driver's eyes hardened, and for a minute Nate had the sinking feeling he'd picked the wrong guy to berate for his parking skills. Then, as slowly as possible, the man set his laptop down in the passenger seat and started the Taurus. He pulled forward 5 feet and stopped. Nate's Volkswagen moved forward, back, and parallel parked. He was careful not to get too close to the other car's bumper. He didn't want to be hanging in the driveway behind him, but he was even more certain he didn't want to bump the Taurus. He grabbed his bag, locked his car, and headed down the hill. "Thanks," he said as he passed the Taurus. He tried to make it sound as sincere as possible. The man ignored him. He was focused on his laptop, watching a YouTube video or streaming porn or something. Nate stopped at his mailbox, tossed some junk mail in the trash, and headed up to his apartment. He tossed his tie on the desk and pulled a beer from the fridge. While he drank it, he stared up at the kitchen light. It was close to 8 when he went down to see Veek.
"You're getting kind of creepy," she said, "and I'm saying this as someone mildly obsessed with this place."
"Sorry," he said, "I've just got a lot of ideas.
I don't have a lot of time, though, trying to finish up this other assignment.
Just one thing."
"Seriously," she sighed, "I have to get this done. It's worth $500 to me."
"Have you ever tried looking up all the plaques?"
"Plaques?"
"All the ones under the stairs." He tipped his head toward the stairwell. She shrugged.
"It's an old building on the edge of Hollywood. I didn't think they were anything special."
"What?"
"They try to make everything sound special around here. It probably just means Humphrey Bogart lived here for a week or something."
"You think this place is a national historic landmark because Humphrey Bogart lived here?" She blinked. "And no matter what they're for, there's probably a ton of information about the building itself. Leads, at least." She stared at him for a moment.
"I'm an idiot," she muttered.
"I'll remind you of it later," he assured her.